Good morning on Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016. My name is Brian Madden, and you're listening to a BrianMadden.com podcast. I'm sitting in our studio here in San Francisco. Joining me here are Jack Madden, as always, as well as Rana Kanan, who is the Chief Product Officer of Workspot. Also joining us via Skype is Puneet Chawla from Denver at the moment. He's the CTO of Workspot, as well as Gabe Knuth from his home in Omaha. Today is one of our special edition sponsored podcasts, which means that Workspot has sponsored this, and we're going to talk about Workspot the whole time. But I want to open the conversation by talking about, by sort of asking about, you know, so Rana and Puneet, you've both been in the sort of VDI world for a long time. Like Rana, you were, I think, headed up the your product manager of Zendesktop and Zenapp.
That's right.
At Citrix. And Puneet, you were sort of the one of the original VDI guys at VMware. And so, you both have been in the VDI space as long as anyone, really.
True. Very true. It's been a while. I think Puneet arguably may have started all this since he actually was writing this code. But indeed, I was on the Zendesktop. For those of you who are Citrix fans, I was on the Zendesktop products from the 4 version, the 4.0, to the 7.0. Now, in dog years, that's a really long time. So that's up to about 2013. By that time, I left and joined the Workspot team. It was the monolithic, megalithic products that you know. So we've definitely seen VDI through a lot of generations, and I had the privilege of running product management for that.
And how did you two and Puneet, so you were actually writing code back in the VMware days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go a long way back. In 2004, when VMware released ESX 2.1, we had some early customers who were doing VDI without our help. You know, these were customers in Canada, a customer called Bell Canada, UK Prudential. These guys were running XP VMs on ESX and calling in to complain that we're trying to run 5 VMs per core and it's not scaling and everything. So we were fixing ESX issues before we started looking at VDI. You know, Diane Greene loved the idea. Intel was all over us saying we'll sell more hardware. And we started seriously looking at VDI in 2005. Diane Greene did a keynote and we showed VDI desktop from a browser at VMworld 2005. And some champions at VMware like Jerry Chen, who's a VC at Greylock now, built a team. We acquired a company in London called Propero in 2007. So things started moving, but I think early days it was customer driven and not actually vendor driven.
Which is kind of why I think there was early success because it was solving, you know, things that were customer driven like that are, you know, they happen because a specific customer has a specific need. Yeah. And then sometimes we get into trouble when a vendor is like, oh, this one customer has this one need, so therefore all of our customers must have this, and we'll all be billionaires.
Let's make this into a product. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right.
But so, you know, I don't want to talk today about VDI too much and everything, but how did you two, I mean, you're kind of like the fox and the hen. I'm not going to say
which, right?
But I mean, like, it's kind of
it's an unholy alliance, is what it is.
Capulets. Not, come on, let's go with that. Let's go with that.
Michigan and Ohio. No, I can't.
They don't.
I like you both. Yeah.
Well, it's a great story. I think the one thing we can probably say we have in common is probably we're doing VDI for a super super long time. I mean, barring maybe those Bell Canada customers or whoever they were at the early days that were probably flogging themselves still. Attempting to do VDI, but we were doing it for a really, really long time in separate paths. And what is the expression? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So yeah. It's kind of like, gosh, this VDI thing, what a pain. You know, we spent years building and building. I can speak for myself, right? I mean, we went through the IMA FMA transition, the integration of Zenapp and Zendesktop. Don't throw stones. Yeah, I know you want to. And so many other things, the acquisition of, you know, Caviza, our layering and all of that, right? So we went through all of that. And the fact is, I'm human, right? You know, this stuff kind of wears you down after a while. You're like, wow, we ground at this and we believe we made a ton of progress and we're just hitting this wall. So I think, what ultimately brings us together now is, or brought us together, which is kind of the irony of all this, is VDI was, we thought it was done. We thought it was done. We're like, okay, we did it. We did it, right?
We declared that in 2013. Like Gabe and I and Jack, you know, sort of,
and 2014.
Yes.
Well, no. Look, but to be fair, I mean, like we declared the technology. You know, in 2013, the technology was
done.
I mean, it, you know, we had GPUs now. We had we could do cheap persistent disk images for everyone. That's right. You know, and so now, of course, that doesn't mean that VDI is right for everyone, or VDI would ever get more than 2% penetration or whatever. But we're saying, you know, kind of what we thought VDI could be in, you know, 2006, 2008.
Yeah.
By 2013, that was done. So I believe that. Like VDI was done in 2013. It was complete. And now we have to go figure out, you know, how to use it. Yeah. But it was complete.
But it was a little itch you couldn't scratch because it was done. Right. And yet there was this nagging thing, which is where, you know, Puneet should talk about how Workspot got founded and how it started. But there was this little itch you couldn't scratch. You're like, it wasn't 100% deployed. It wasn't 80% deployed. It wasn't 20% deployed. Right. It was somewhere
zero. There. It was zero.
It was kind of
like, it was like 0 to 2%. It depends how you count, but it was less than your margin of error in your surveys. Right. You know, it was essentially zero.
Yeah. So you're like, why? Right. You kind of go, why? We built it. Like, maybe this is it. Maybe that's it. And that's how we ended up at this wall. And, you know, Puneet should tell you the story.
Tell us the story of how Workspot started. Because I want to know the personal side of this. Like, I want to know literally how you two, like how you, Rana, and you, Puneet, got together as, you know, a longtime VMware person, longtime Citrix person.
I'd imagine a dark parking garage was involved.
Yeah.
It was cigars. An accident.
Oh, yeah.
Flat tire.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a flat tire because, like, one of you had placed, like, shards of glass into the tire of the others.
Yeah. Or Rana helped out Puneet before she realized he was VMware.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, then she shoved the tire iron through his car window.
I mean,
so it's got dark. Okay, carry on.
The end user computing space is pretty small, right? If you think about the vendors and the, you know, smart people, you can count them quickly. It's 20 or 25 really smart Citrix experts, another 20, 25 VMware experts. These are execs, these are hands-on people, these are architects. So you, if you've been around in the industry, if you've been following brianmadden.com, you know most of the names, you know these, you know which vendors these guys work for. So when I quit VMware, I worked at a venture firm and I was trying to build a company and I was running into a lot of people, but my goal was clear to connect with folks who understand the space really well. And, you know, it's three companies I would say that really understand VDI and end user computing. So everything from app publishing to, you know, virtualization and everything else, it's VMware, Citrix, and Microsoft. So when we started looking, I ran into Amitabh Sinha. Amitabh is our CEO, and Amitabh was also trying to start a company. And Rana, Amitabh, and a lot of our folks today at Workspot, some of the key folks, they worked together before. So if you are, you know, a sincere person and, you know, people like you, you can actually build a team quickly. And we felt that the VDI market and in general, the future market, which is not only VDI, you know, it's the workspace, it's access to apps from any device. It's a humongous market and there was not a lot of innovation going on. If you see our industry, every 10 years, there's a rewrite that happens. You know, Salesforce completely took over Siebel. Siebel was the incumbent. People said Salesforce cannot get it done. Similarly, Workday has completely killed PeopleSoft. ServiceNow has completely killed BMC. So these transitions happen in our industry every 10 years. And we felt that Citrix and VMware have a very, you know, legacy view of the world, which is every time you add a new feature, just add a new appliance or a new component and make it super complicated for customers. So we said if we were to step back and do it again, how would we do it? And that was the genesis of Workspot.
Well, so first of all, I like your bit about, you know, how'd y'all work together? It's like, well, we were all nice people. and I'm, because Amitabh, your CEO, was at Citrix also.
Yeah, yeah. So he's definitely in the mix here, obviously, right? So he and I had always stayed in touch and he left Citrix. I had done my stint in the UK and he was, at the time, I think he and Puneet crossed paths. And that was just like, you know, I think they literally ran into each other in the offices. It's like, oh, what do you do? You know, what do you do? And started to talk about things. In the meantime, he and I had been in communication going, gosh, you left me with a hot mess, dude, because he left Citrix. and I got
When is this? This is
like 2011, 2012. Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. And I was like, what are you doing? You know, he's like, that stuff will never work. That stuff will never work. I'm like, yeah, you tell me that now. And I'm like, I've got this, all of this in my hands. And so we would often commiserate, you know, in random parks and cafes about how painful it was, especially because I was spending time with customers, right? I was in the UK, I was embedded in the field with, you know, a lot of the large financials, and these guys had been flogging it. And so I was getting flogged regularly. I'm going, what did you do? And he's like, that architectural thing, that didn't work. And, you know, we never put this stuff back in FMA. And yeah, you really should do that. And then, you know, you really should have acquired Desktone. We didn't. We missed that opportunity. It's like, oh my God, what are we doing? So he and I would commiserate regularly. And then one day he's like, hey, we would pop by our offices, and they were just in the, down in Menlo. And I remember meeting this guy, Puneet, and I think he asked me some smarty pant question about, like, doesn't DAS just solve everything? And I was like, are you kidding me right now? Are you really kidding me right now? Anyway, obviously.
This is a test, right? This is a test.
You're testing me. I was like, are you testing me? Because I think you're testing me. I was like, I think you're a smart person. But like he said, he's a nice guy. I'm like, I won't hold it against you. I think you're a smart guy. Other people tell me you're a smart guy. What are you doing? I like telling me that DAS fixes everything. And so that's how our sort of meeting of the minds started happening. We're like, oh, that doesn't. So we kind of thought, okay, this is the post-apocalyptic VDI world, right? We're like, we're done with it. That wasn't going to solve all the problems. We'd all built and tried to, you know, improve and repair all the technology and all the solutions, and we'd move past. So we said, let's, you know, what did you guys start on? And Puneet showed me what they built, and I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. The user experience is badass. It's actually simple. And people, you know, we all sit here in IT land and talk about user experience, and yet don't actually think that they're like, what is it? Just have them just launch the VPN first. That'll be fine. We're like, no. It's
you have
really
to explain
fine.
It to your mom. If you cannot explain it to your mom,
no, you can't explain it to your mom. If you can't put it in front of her and she doesn't
do it. Yeah. You're
like,
even better.
No,
yeah, yeah.
Have you tried anything? Explain anything to your mom? I try. It ends up in like an hour long fight.
Right.
You're like, don't touch
that
icon.
That happens when I try to put a fork in the dishwasher. I mean, that's regardless. Let me stop here because. The big question to me is, you're preaching to the choir, you know, about, you know, VDI and complexity and all this kind of stuff and these sorts of things. And a lot of companies talk about, oh, this VDI stuff is so complex, you know, throw it away, we're going to, you know, do it from scratch, what would we do? I'm on board so far. Like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
But the problem from what I hear a lot of these stories is people, how do I want to say that? They kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater, saying, well, it's all complex. You know, in the new world, it's going to be all like web-based and apps are written for IO, whatever. And it's like all, you know, friendly and it's written for security and everything. It's like, okay, hold on, man. There's like 50 jillion Windows apps that enterprises use.
Yeah.
So VDI may be complex. However, you know, we have all enterprises have these Windows apps that we have to deliver. And whether you're delivering it as a seamless or not seamless or refactored or not, at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of Windows applications we have to deliver.
That's right.
So I think a lot of companies do not do a good job of separating sort of the complexity of VDI from the complexity of Windows. Because you can look at a product like a, you know, Horizon 6, like a Zen app, a Zen desktop, and say those are freaking complex products. And I agree. Every new feature, you need a new appliance to go with it. And it's a new, like, 100% agree. But we have to sort of separate the complexity of the Windows application delivery products from the complexity of the Windows environment, the Windows application landscape. And so I kind of wonder how, like, when you're talking about it's complex, you know, you're still talking about your future world. We still have Windows apps. Like, how are you, are you still helping us with Windows apps, yeah?
Yeah, no, I think it's a foregone conclusion that Windows is there. So about a year ago, I saw Gabe do a presentation, and I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Gabe. I think it was you, Gabe. You could tell me if you remember this. And you put up the slide, and you said, everyone's declared the death of Windows, the decline of Windows. You put up this chart, right? And it was a little line graph. And the line graph, basically, I think it went from like 97 to like 95%.
Yeah, over. it went 95 to 91 over since the dawn of Windows 7. Yeah. So January of 2009.
Yes.
So I even went a little bit before Windows 7. So, and that was updated like through 2015 just recently. So, and it's still on the same trajectory. It actually leveled off. So that means that in 7 years, we've lost 4% of the market share for Windows. So there's no way it's going away. There's not going to be some precipitous drop off. I mean, yeah, people are trying to get away, but as long as there's one app in an organization that needs Windows, we're going to have to deliver it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what the endpoints are.
So here's a perspective, right? So to your question, Brian, the perspective is, I think people kind of polarize around one item and try to say it's dying or it's thriving, right? It's Windows, it's dying, it's over, or it's thriving, and that's the only thing we've got to solve. Ergo, products like Zenapp, right? Like, hey, it's only Windows, let's just deliver all Windows, or just VDI. But then there's another camp and that kind of breaks away and says, forget all that. It's all about mobile apps, and it's all about, you know, nicely slicked up, completely recoded stuff that is strictly tablet, is optimized for that. But here's what I say. I think it's a little bit myopic to look from only one perspective. If I was to draw a chart, I would draw a chart differently rather than the decline of Windows or the, you know, the increase of mobile apps or the flood of devices. I would draw a chart that says how homogeneous were things in 1990 and how not homogeneous they are, how heterogeneous they are today. That it is a multifaceted problem that you cannot undo iOS and Android from the enterprise. You cannot undo those 90 whatever percent of Windows apps that people still use and they're never going to leave, and the desktops. You cannot undo those things. So our reality today is that of heterogeneous. It says, how do you solve all those problems?
Which we always talk about, but absolutely true. The percentage of enterprise apps that are Windows apps today is half or maybe a third of what it was 10 years ago. But that is not driven by the fact there are that many fewer Windows apps. Rather, it's just because we have now, in addition to Windows app, we have the iOS and the Android and the web and the,
yep,
you know, everything. Cloud. And you can look at, you know, supporting, you know, even a tech target supporting Concur now. You've got to support 7 different versions of Concur for every single type of device, whereas before that was just, you know, a Windows.
Bingo.
And yeah, that's, and sure, some of them are moving off of Windows too, but the fact of the matter is, like, if you could have moved these Windows apps to some other platform, you'd have done it by now.
Yeah. And so when
I completely agree. I mean, I can give you some data, and this is real-world data. One of the largest customers at VMware was Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi. This is the biggest bank in Asia. And one of my trips, I went into the app team and I said, I would love to know how many apps do you have? And I was surprised, and I took notes and shared with the VMware team, and I came back. They had 2,500 Windows apps. So, you know, that's a scary number. That means they will have to support Windows apps for the next 50 years. No one knows who wrote the apps and, you know, are they Excel package sheets and whatnot. And, you know, we're talking numbers like, you know, Walmart, another large customer at VMware, they have 350 Unix apps. So just forget Windows. They're still running Unix apps. So things change slow, and IT always needs a bridge going from where the world is and where it will be in 10 years. So the old apps stay there. You still have to manage them, maintain them, monitor them. And people leave, but apps still stay there.
If you wanted to migrate 2,500 apps to some other platform, cloud, mobile, whatever, in 30 years, you'd still have to migrate like 7 apps a month.
Yeah,
think about that. Right, and migrating.
It's insane.
Yeah,
they can't migrate. That's the key. Like, they don't even know who wrote the app and what the app is doing.
Oh yeah, and that's right. So that's 7 apps a month. That just makes that even more insane.
And it's like the issue. It's like the episode of The Office when Dwight quits or is fired or whatever, and then all these weird things happen that they never knew he did. Like, all the plants die, for example. They didn't realize he had been watering the plants. And that's, it's right. Like, there's 5 or 6 a montage of all these little random things that happen, and yeah, it may be, oh, you don't even know this app. And you,
yep,
just shut it down. And then randomly, like, this one company in Indonesia, the lights start flickering. And it was because you just don't know that that's how it was connected back.
Exactly. So there's no avoiding it. So, you know, when you asked the question earlier, it's like, hey, are you guys, you know, trying to eliminate the complexity of just a Windows world? It's not the complexity of the Windows world. And there's no avoiding it. And if I was to say what really brought us together is, after getting to know Puneet a little bit more and as we work together, it's actually a passion for fixing that problem. It's like, you can't do that if you sometimes come from one perspective and all you're focused on is just Windows apps and you're trying to bolt on these other things. When we started from scratch, we said, guys, it's, I mean, look, we started in, you know, 2012, right? So that was relatively scratch. But at that time, mobile's there, web's there, cloud apps, you know, new frameworks for security, for authentication, how people work, and all the devices, et cetera. We said, that's the reality. Start there. Rather than start from Windows and then try to bolt it on, or start from a desktop, or just try to start from a mobile app and go there. But how can we actually address that reality that this stuff is not going to go away? It's like DOS at the DMV, by the way. They're unhackable. That's the good news. I was there renewing my registration. The guys, they're running DOS. I kid you not. Just
it's,
feel good.
You know, it's, but your point is true. Is you know, sort of VMware and Citrix are approaching this from the Windows centric. And how do we, you know, modernize, webify, Windows apps, that sort of thing. And a lot of the traditional mobility companies build their stories around, well, you know, Windows is dead and it's the future is mobility. And look at how great these apps are, which is, they are fantastic, but they're not everything. So all that, so we are all in agreement about all this, what we just said.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, what in the hell do you guys do about it? So it's 2012. You're like, we are making a new company from scratch. Here's what I said. You asked me if this sounds like a good idea. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that. I could not even tell you what that is. I could not even imagine. Like, I can imagine what a future is like with cars driving me around.
Sure.
And, you know, what a future is like. But I can't imagine, like, what you're saying. I can't, if you said just draw on paper your dream product.
Yep.
I'm like, it would just be like users with X's over their faces because they didn't exist anymore. Like, that's my dream. I don't know how to.
It is kind of like that. How did you know? That's the process. That's what we do, Brian. That's how we build product. but actually, you know, joking aside, it is a little bit like that. You know, when you're steeped for so long, in people's problems, right? Whereas I was out there dealing with the Department of Works and Pensions and Morgan Stanley, and when he's dealing with the Bank of Tokyo and so on, when you're steeped in their problems, and you sit there and go, how am I going to actually fix this without the baggage? I mean, I had baggage, guys, right? Like, I, you know, having the Zen apps and desktop products, it was kind of like, oh, but wait, you know, there's this one long-time loyal German customer, and they use this one feature. You can't cut it from the release.
That's not baggage. That's a leg iron and a giant cartoon ball.
True, very true. So, you know, you don't have that baggage. What you get to do is kind of say, all right, what are your real pains? You know, what is it really? Rather than, you know, me trying to undo what I did to you 18 months ago or 3 years ago, or just improve on that, rather than incremental improvement, how do you do real exponential improvement? So it came down to two things, which really two things, right? Very simple. I'll boil it down. One is make an actual, you know, kick-ass. Can I say that?
Yeah, user experience. You can say anything you want.
Okay. I was like, oops, don't censor me.
There's no FCC.
It's not the real radio.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So make a real kick-ass user experience. And that the stupid, like, stress the little things, like how many clicks and taps and installs and this and that. That's one. And the other was, this is the radical one, and Puneet should tell you about it because he built this, is how do you do it so you don't have to install anything? I mean, we install, like you said, hey, there's all the software, and that in itself was complicated. The Citrix software, the VMware stack, you know, that in itself, just that, running that, maintaining that, managing that. This is our emperor has no clothes moment in the industry, right? We're like, hey, we're all dealing with that, but we're all, you know, we're all in cahoots together dealing with this problem of maintaining and installing and compatibility and patching and all of this for software to actually just run the app delivery, and the VDI and, you know, all of that environment. So he said, how do you do that without installing anything? Everyone's already invested. And that is the cloud management plane. And that's Puneet's baby. So I should let him talk about that.
Yep. So for me, it was very simple. I spent a lot of time with IT folks in different companies, small and large. And the conspicuous feedback was, it's too hard to just set it up. Even for a pilot, it's taking 6 months. Storage problems are just killing everything. It's a big stack, right? So when VMware started VDI, the first product, the guide was 20 pages. And by the time I left, it was 250 pages. And when you go to a customer, you cannot tell them that it's simple with a straight face because the guide is 250 pages long.
Documentation was a release. Like, fix the documentation. That was a
right, and just, I mean, just the terminology, right? If you talk about Citrix product, you have servers, you have databases and backups and storefront provisioning services, desktop controllers, directors, studio, licensing server. Same on VMware. I mean, it's not any easier. It's databases and then Composer, Mirage, connection servers, DMZ deployment, security servers, load balancers, vRealize Ops. It's a SKU, which is, you know, just to get the licenses in place takes 2 weeks. And we said, if we have to improve it, if we have to increase the TAM, like just make sure VDI is considered by every company, every organization on the planet, we have to make it simpler, right? You cannot go to a customer and say it will take 3 months to get the first user running. It should be possible in a single day.
So ideally, you, ironically, you all had a low bar. I mean, really, right?
Just don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. That was it. That, you make it sound like a, such a low bar, but man, that was like 9 years of my life.
Yeah. No, but you know, when you build a company from scratch, the goal is always to do it 100x better, right? If you do it 2x or 3x better, then you are just an average company. But if you want to do something disruptive, you have to say, let me redefine the category, right? It's like what Salesforce did to Siebel and what Workday is doing to PeopleSoft. You just have to say, what is the right architecture for the next 10 years and not just incremental enhancements for a year or two.
So what do you actually do?
Yes. Ronald, do you want to take the first tab and then I can
the technology. What do you have? Okay, right. So you got this thing.
Here's the thing. They have less documentation than Citrix and VMware. That's what I got.
Which is like, bravo. I mean, that's, yeah.
Your mama can use it. That's, all right. So here's what
she,
we do.
I bet she can't.
This might be a fun video. This might be a fun video. My mom, by the way, she retired like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. So like, and her husband, like they both retired in the past.
They have time.
Okay, the mom challenge.
That would actually be kind of a fun. We'll table that, but that would be kind of a fun thing
follow,
to sort of put together.
Be fun. We'll do that. Yeah, yeah. All right. So here's what we do. We actually we deliver a VDI in a workspace as a service. Now, what does that mean? So I'm coining a new term, by the way, VDI as a service, because it's not desktops as a service and it's not infrastructure as a service. It's like VDI as a service. We can deliver the whole gamut of a workspace via a unified client on iOS, Android, PC, Mac. It's a rich client experience that can deliver anything from Windows apps, Windows desktops, to web apps, cloud apps, etc. It's kind of unified authentication, etc. And it's all delivered from a cloud management control plane, single pane of glass, where an admin actually manages soup to nuts the provisioning lifecycle of desktops, apps, and all the services that they want to put in that workspace. So we do that with without new infrastructure. So we with VDI, you should ask us about that, like how we came back to the VDI world. That's because that's a juicy one. Because we started with, hey, let's move on in apps and let's simplify it and solve this main infrastructure problem. But then we said, how can we do this without having anything installed on site? And we don't, right? We have a simple connector. It connects to existing infrastructure, whether you're using hyperconverged, ideally, which is a wonderful infrastructure for a lot of this, or existing, you know, hypervisor, agnostic, vSphere, etc., and connect to that and orchestrate all of that through a cloud plane.
Okay, so your customers, they're running their own infrastructure.
Yep.
And it's going to either be like RDSH sessions or VDI. It's, you know, VDI VMs on Hyper-V. Yep. Or vSphere or whatever. There's your agent or there's something that is installed there and just talks to the control plane, which is in the cloud. Then your client is for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, web.
Yeah.
And they go to that and then they get their apps and that can be, you know, it's web apps, it's desktops, it's Windows apps, it's all kind of stuff.
So that's a single workspace for the end user.
All right. This is a question from the audience. Let's see. If you could please touch on Citrix and VMware Cloud offerings versus Workspot. Thanks. Because I want to say, you just described Citrix Workspace Cloud to me, right?
So let me take a stab at this. So Citrix and VMware are very good at marketing. These are big marketing machines. The problem is they don't really know how to ship good products and do it from scratch. And it's a cultural or DNA issue, right? If you do on-prem really well, doing cloud is a completely different beast. And you cannot retrofit the same product for a completely different architecture. It's like taking a building and saying, I'm going to put new windows and call it cloud. That doesn't work. You have to step back and build the right architecture. So the keywords for me are cloud managed, which is it's a service that's running in the cloud. The provider is taking care of backups, availability. They give you the four nines. The second big thing is choice. Choice is about, you know, the customer can decide what hardware infrastructure to use, right? Not just to vSAN. The customer can pick Nutanix. The customer can pick Atlantis, SimpliVity, HP, Cisco. It should not be tied to a single hypervisor, you know, not just vSphere. It could be anything. vSphere, Acropolis, KVM, Hyper-V, Azure, OpenStack in future. And finally, the most important thing for us was it should be like firmware. Today, if you go to any VDI customer, their biggest pain is upgrades. Like, how do you go from version 1 to version 2? And we've completely disrupted that. Our service that runs in the cloud is upgraded automatically every 15 days. The customers don't even know what version they're running. The connector that is on-prem is like firmware. It's automatically upgraded. The clients are automatically upgraded from the App Store, or it's like Chrome. You restart and you get a new version. And that is elegant. That is something that takes 3-4 years to build. And we've gone at length to do it right. Right. So when people say, you know, in marketing terms, it's similar to Citrix and VMware, and I say yes. First, it's validation that they also know the future is cloud-based. Like VMware today, you know, the Horizon on-prem product, they're not even adding new features to it. It's the engineering teams have been moved to India and China. They're completely focused on Enzo. And the problem with Enzo is, first, it's trying to retrofit the existing product into cloud. And two, it's just vSAN. It's not going to work. Like, customers love Atlantis and, you know, Nutanix and the new hyperconverged vendors. So we are in a very good position. And the differences are sort of pretty clear. We built it from scratch. We only do cloud managed. We don't want to do on-prem because we feel in the next 10 years, most of the customers will go to cloud managed and will not have a full on-prem stack anymore.
And oops, sorry, I heard a weird echo from me. Hang on, can you? Yeah, right. The cloud, your piece this in the cloud is just the management stack. So again, like all the data, because people are asking about data sovereignty and all that kind of stuff, that all still exists in their own premises.
Yep. So we have built industry's first, you know, control plane, data plane separation. And that has not been done in the VDI market or app publishing market. It has been there in networking. So Meraki was one vendor that started it. On the SDN side, you see a lot of vendors like Nicira, Big Switch that do it. So what we've done is the configuration plane is in the cloud, but also the broker is in the cloud. The configuration data collection happens in the cloud. Some of our large customers are really excited because we give them a lot of visibility, right? We talk about VDI as a security function, but, you know, it's just endpoint protection. What else can you do? So we collect a lot of interesting data, and our customers love how we take this data and give them for risk management. So cloud is a broker. You know, you obviously talk to the cloud to say, where should I connect? But when the user is connecting to the desktop, it's on-prem. So we are resource agnostic. The customer can come to us and say, I'm going to run Hyper-V on site 1 and vSphere on site 2 and Acropolis on site 3. And by the way, our site 4 is Azure or Amazon, and we'll support it in the near term. So it's all about going to a company that's global, they have multiple data centers, and they want to add new resource locations very quickly, right? In days. They don't want to spend 6 months to bring up data center 2. And that was what was happening, you know, 3-4 years ago because of the old complicated legacy stacks.
And it makes it even easier to sort of split your risk. I mean, the fact you can literally use AWS and Azure in two different sites. And so you've got different companies with different infrastructure and different everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, risk management, disaster recovery, failover, everything will be easier because you can get another site up and running in no time.
But don't forget the other challenge with this, right, is VDI didn't get everywhere because you couldn't get everywhere because of the cost, right? You bring it down to a cost, but that was very much based on this entire sort of monolithic data center model. And now when you're, not only are you talking about, you know, this heterogeneity of I can bring it up on different infrastructure, you're talking about different locations, right? So when I started my journey at Citrix, I was doing the WAN optimization products, right? And we were talking about appliances, and we would often have, you know, these long conversations about having the color-coded plugs on the back of a toaster and a dumb box that the, you know, the janitor could plug into a closet in these remote office or branch office, right? that was that's never an option for VDI. You're always like connecting to something that's magically far away. Now, with what Puneet was just talking about, whether you've got a hyperconverged appliance or a server or whatever that's sort of centrally managed like we do, where you've created that total separation, you can have the equivalent of, you know, a box dropped into a branch office that was not addressable. So someone sitting there and, you know, and Ho Chi Minh had to kind of connect to their desktop that is back in London. You're like, that doesn't work, right? This laws of physics, it doesn't work.
So the example of Meraki, I thought was great because everyone loves them. And that's a great, like, I think we definitely have precedent in modern times of, you know, separating, you know, outsourcing to the cloud, the control plane of what's happening while sort of our data and apps and all that stuff live, you know, within our premises. I also really like the idea of saying, well, how are you different than Citrix Workspace Cloud? It's like, no, that's what we are. We're just not, you know, Citrix. Like, it isn't just built.
Citrix. Like, so here, I mean, you know, where the body's buried, yeah. Like, okay, I mean, I had to drag this stuff, you know, ahead from release to release, and you're dragging architectures forward. It's like, it was not a reinvent. I don't think anyone still at Citrix would tell you that Citrix Workspace Cloud was a complete, you know, bootstrap reinvent. It's not. It was the point.
It was, they're taking what was existing for 20 years, right. and pasting some cloud, pipes to it.
So why don't we ask about multi-tenancy, right? Like, how multi-tenant is that? What does that really mean in a world of, you know, the Merakis and the Salesforce and so on? Like, what does that look like? And the second is compatibility. I mean, when you're still dragging multiple pieces of the architecture, you know, your VDA to broker compatibility, that gave me like 40 gray hairs at least in my ears there, right? So now I'm dragging that into the cloud. Like, how are you managing that, the patching, the updating, et cetera?
So there's a bunch of questions around this in the chat room right now. People, one question asked, you know, if I've got considerable existing investment in Citrix infrastructure, so do I, like, can I use Workspot to deliver off my Citrix servers? Do I deliver my existing published applications to Workspot client? How does that work?
That's a great question. Look, Citrix built an excellent product in ZenApp, and it provides a value to this day, and the ROI is fantastic, right? So there's nothing wrong with that. Coincidentally, we connected to ZenApp over a year ago, right? So you can deliver ZenApp published applications through Workspot.
Is that going to be via HDX then? Or do you turn it into RemoteFX? Or how does that work in the protocol side of things?
Oh, we're going to talk about protocols. Yes. No, it's not via HDX. It's RDP delivered, which is pretty kick-ass. I think Puneet has a great quote about what someone recently told him about RDP. Was it RDP 10, Puneet?
Yeah, so it is RemoteFX. Short answer, I think every, you know, big company that's doing well, they started with a solid rock product, and we understand that Citrix core competency is ZenApp, VMware's core competency is ESX. And when we go to customers, obviously they have that in place. So we have a very natural, embrace philosophy. We use ZenApp as is. We just connect to it using RemoteFX. So no change in policies, nothing. We just turn a flag on that we can come in through RemoteFX. We can take the existing entitlements, and those ZenApps can be consumed from within the Workspot client. And on the ESX side, again, very simple. We can connect to vSphere. We can import existing VMs that have been managed by any vendor. You can bring them into Workspot and take it from there. So it takes us a day to take an existing ZenApp or ESX deployment for VDI or app publishing, and you can bring them into Workspot.
And then if you are on native sort of Workspot, are you using actual remote apps from the built-in Windows, or it's your own sort of way of publishing?
So we are piggybacking on Microsoft remote desktop host. We think that's the best product in the market. I know the protocol space really well, and I can tell you with a lot of confidence that RDP 10 will kick ass. RDP 10 is the best protocol enhancement that has happened in 5 years from Microsoft. With H.264 and Coder Decoder, they are going to make a dent in the market. And by the way, the VMware Blast protocol is exactly the same. In fact, it's not even, you know, as good as RDP 10. So we are doubling down on RDP 10, and we, you know, obviously invite choice from customers. So we are talking to other vendors. You know, if customers claim that they want HDX or Teradici, we will try to bring that in, when it's required.
And you're not going to hear any, you're not going to hear any sort of complaints from me.
about using RDP10. And so I think that, you know, these protocol wars, like all these protocols are good now. And they, I think they all work well. And people are happy with that. You can connect the same thing. You talked about connecting into existing Citrix Zen app environments. Can you do the same with Zen, probably with, on the Horizon side of things? If people have Horizon and want to tie that into what we're doing?
Absolutely. So we support vSphere import. And most customers, whether they use Horizon or Zen Desktop, can just point us to vSphere and tell us which desktops they're using. And we can bring them in a single day to WorkSpot, make it cloud managed, you know, the simple user experience. Users download our client, enter email address, get a, you know, one-time passcode, and they can connect to their desktops running on any infrastructure.
And then someone asked, is Hyper-V supported? Yes, I think, right?
Well, yeah, so we pretty much, I mean, it's, you know, like it's in beta, but I would say we are pro-choice, so we support vSphere today. We are very passionate about Acropolis from Nutanix. We think that's doing well. And then we are working closely with a lot of big vendors like HP and Cisco, the next generation hyperconverged vendors. We really love Atlantis Computing. We think that that's a great product. So we are hypervisor agnostic. We support vSphere, Acropolis, Hyper-V today, but we are bringing in OpenStack and Microsoft Azure Stack also later this year.
And then Linux, do you work with thin clients?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, everybody needs thin clients. So we are sort of an RDP broker in the cloud. We feel the Microsoft product is great, but it has some shortcomings, like it doesn't scale well and, you know, management is hard. So we've really simplified that. You can take any thin client today in the market and point it to us. Just say control.workspot.com and it starts to work.
And that's just using the thin clients built in. RDP support. So even it doesn't have to be a Windows thin client. It's the, you know, Wise Blast.
Anything. Because thin OS, most, you know. Yeah, most thin clients have RDP, and that's our, you know, that's how we make it work.
And then how about for data and documents, files? You know, you've got a SIFS client. Does that hook into OneDrive, Box, Dropbox?
OneDrive, SharePoint.
Existing network shares.
Existing network shares, which is actually phenomenal, killer app, surprisingly, for people to be able to actually get back and connect to their V drive, N drive, et cetera. So that's what that gives us directly in there. Lets you get offline access through a content repository in the workspace and be able to, we have built-in viewers as well. So you've got a lot of that, all built in one workflow.
And then, so that sort of replaces, what do I want to say? Like, you don't need Dropbox necessarily. I mean,
yeah, that's, I mean, again, as Puneet keeps saying, kind of pro-choice in creating those options for customers. But it's about enabling good user behavior, right? So if you're IT and you want to deliver things through your V drive or your SharePoint or OneDrive, we just make that a great experience so that people actually use it rather than kind of do the shadow IT thing. And they don't need it. But, you know, that said, they can still deliver Dropbox if they want to.
We got another question about data sovereignty, but I think we touched on that. Like, you don't have any data.
No.
I mean, it's the data lives on where it's on premises.
Yep. So just to clarify, the cloud plane is a multi-tenant cloud. It has some configuration data, but it's very nicely encrypted. We are the first EUC vendor that's SkyHigh certified. SkyHigh Networks is the industry's leading cloud access security broker product. They do, you know, very thorough checks on cloud security. So there is some information about, you know, who the users are, what apps they run into, apps they want access. But the core desktops and apps are still in customer's data center. And we are resource agnostic, location agnostic. So it could be customer data center. It can be a colo. It can be a cloud provider. So in terms of actual data policies in the governance, it's completely dictated by IT. And in near future, we're also allowing customers to bring their own keys, which is if you want, you know, your own security, we can encrypt the data using your own key. And that is why Amazon and Azure are, you know, just kicking ass right now. Amazon is the fastest growing business in the IT industry in the last 10 years, last 20 years, I should say. And it's because customers love it, right? You want to consume things in a simple fashion and grow as you need. And that is our philosophy at WorkSpot.
That's awesome. With the using your own key and stuff. That's That's cool. Maybe that's standard nowadays. This is not my world exactly. A lot of questions are coming in. So licensing pricing, do you have different like standard, enterprise, platinum, platinum plus,
oh,
platinum
God,
plus,
no. plus? No, licensing, yeah, dirty little secret is that is actually the bane of most customers' lives, the licensing. Nope. We're subscription-based per user, unlimited devices. We know everyone uses multiple devices, typically on kind of an annual subscription basis, and it's one license, gets you everything. That's the heterogeneous world that we live in, right? Whether you want desktops, apps, cloud, iOS, Mac, all in one.
How about, do you talk about reference customers? Do you have anchor customers? You know, how is questions in terms of market penetration and growth, you know, references, who's actually using this?
Yeah, I mean, it's we have a bunch of case studies actually up on our website, as well as a bunch of quotable customers. What we're finding is this is a very broad appeal solution. I think there's people have been talking about kind of like this, you know, exit Citrix or avoid the VTax. And so what we're seeing is a pretty broad spread of large enterprise all the way down to mid enterprise. We've got, you know, customers like the Southern Farm Bureau of Insurance, the city of Milpitas, that's down in our hood, right? An investment firm, built, right here in San Francisco. And they're doing the whole gamut, right? They're delivering apps, they're delivering desktops, they're delivering cloud based stuff to mobile. To a bunch of users, so we have a pretty wide cross section of customers.
Question: if you can run out of Acropolis, do you run the plain KVM, or is that in the near term roadmap? This is Acropolis is Nutanix's hypervisor, right?
So. Yep, so we can do both. I mean, typically customers like Acropolis today, but if somebody comes up and requests KVM, we can do that as well.
Persistent versus non-persistent VDI support. Not your problem, I guess, right?
So I think, you know, I mean, it's a debatable topic, and in the industry, obviously, a lot of things have been happening. So we support both. But if a customer comes to us, we ask them specifically, what is the use case? And our first recommendation is persistent desktop if a user has to live in the desktop. If it's a university use case or you have more users and you want stateless desktops, then we recommend non-persistent. So we actually are very careful. Unlike the big incumbents like VMware and Citrix, we don't do just sale and then let them figure out. We are very careful. We work with the customer to tell them, you know, what are the use cases? When should you do non-persistent? And all the trade-offs, right? I mean, non-persistent is great on paper, but in practice, it is really hard to get right.
Puneet's being diplomatic.
We wrote a whole book about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to
It's like if you could have a persistent desktop for most use cases and most customers, if you could have it without the cost, you'd take it.
Yeah, which Why is exactly you? What people are doing now that you know, storage for VDI can make that happen.
Bingo, right.
Fundamentally, you all don't care. I mean, you know, your management plane allows you, I presume, to assign a desktop image to a pool of users or yep. sort of one-to-one desktop. And the actual delivery mechanism of that in the back end is tied back to whatever hypervisor, hyper-converged, storage.
That's right.
You know, you like, because again, it's all going back to what's on prem
right.
for people. So, like, you buy whatever, you know, there's 50 vendors that doing storage at Synergy. Like, you know, pick one.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great thing, by the way, is sort of our decoupling of the infrastructure layer and sort of this, you know, app and desktop delivery layer, the end user computing. So, what we're finding is a lot of customers now. So, before, early days, right? When we'd say, oh, you wanted to do VDI, everyone would go there and the customer would disappear for like 6 to 8 months working with the likes of, you know, EMC or HP designing the infrastructure before they could even start to think about having a VDI or AppDelX. Like now, what we're finding is customers with having a plethora of options, many of those ones like Atlantis, like Pure, like, you know, Nutanix, Cisco, HP, all of these guys, is they can kind of start to optimize their infrastructure at their own pace. And working with us, it's like, oh, we can decouple this, right? I can kind of modernize over here, improve my costs, improve my operation, or I can just import and get started with whatever I've got, which is great.
And do you have partners who are like, I know you're not DAS, and the whole definition of what is DAS exactly breaks down, and what you're saying about VDI as a service, I get that. But do you have partners who are building out this service and offering as a hosted desktop, or is that even necessary? Is it like, nah, man, just go to AWS, here's our 7-page doc. Like, because if I can set up, you know, a pool in AWS or in Azure, and you're my control plane, I don't have to mess with any of that kind of stuff. I mean, it seems like even if I'm SMB and I'm just the one IT dude at a 50-person janitorial supply company, it's still kind of you're 7 clicks away or whatever from kind of setting this up in the cloud provider directly. Like maybe.
No, that's a great question. You know, we've seen actually quite a bit of demand from people wanting to deliver a service based on what we can provide. And I do think it might be, the SMBs or frankly, a lot of those companies that are just wholesale moving to managed services, right? They're just saying, if I'm the janitorial supply company, whatever you can take care of for me, please take care of it. So I think it remains to be seen. It's the bar is certainly much lower for a lot of people to actually run it themselves and manage it themselves. But in the last year, we've seen some pretty large companies still building DAS type services, and they don't have the tools to do it without something like this, without a true kind of multi-tenant solution to service multiple clients. So we're still seeing that demand. And as people kind of building that out and figuring that out, I think your year of DAS might still be coming up.
I mean, it's yeah. We're unclear on our definition, sort of revisionist history way, I mean, the DAS technology was ready in 2014. So therefore, someone's asking about 3D application support, NVIDIA Grid, that kind of stuff. Again, that's not your, yes, it doesn't matter, right? Because, Remote FX supports delivering
bingo
apps. You can put Grid inside VDI or Hyper-V or Zen Server, or, you can now get Grid instances in AWS. And, so that's, yeah.
Yes.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, obviously it depends on the hypervisor and the protocol, but, we are working closely with Microsoft and they'll be supporting all kinds of GPUs, including NVIDIA Grid, and that should be transferred into the end users.
Actually, AMD's got GPUs in servers now. Like, Grid gets all the, kind of the buzz, but, AMD's there as well with the it's ATI stuff, right?
So both Intel and AMD are doubling down and, we'll see more chips coming from them.
Someone's asking, so do I replace my ZenApp with this product, or do I keep my Citrix licenses in addition to your licenses? I'm just reading questions out of the chat.
Sure. I mean, the simple answer is look, if you look at it as two layers, right? Is your entire delivery layer of how you're actually delivering desktops and apps, or the layer of where you're publishing or sharing applications. That layer it's up to you, right? If you still want to use ZenApp and you have had that there, like that, this one company, in the UK, they're just like, we have Windows 2003 and we're never going to stop using it ever. And I had the Microsoft guy there and they're like, but this is no longer supported. And they're like, we don't care. And when the server falls over and the building burns down, we're going to keep using it. So if you're in that category and you've got your ZenApp or you've got your Windows server that you're publishing from, keep using it, right? We're agnostic. And if you want to transition, great, right? Like, I think Windows gives you a lot of options.
Let's not beat around the bush here. Like, you compete against Citrix. Like, you don't need, like, the whole idea is you don't give Citrix your money. You give you guys the money.
Nope. Yeah.
And if someone paid for Citrix for 17 years and they want to, keep on using it, fine. But
you don't have to. I mean,
Ron is giving the product answer. Let me give the engineering answer. We will absolutely take away your ZenApp and Horizon license. Customers should just do WorkSpot on Microsoft desktops or servers, and that's the solution we propose. If it takes you 9 months, 12 months, 18 months to get rid of ZenApp and Horizon, we'll embrace it and we'll support the migration path.
That's actually interesting because I wasn't thinking about just what I want to say. It's not like just switching everyone to WorkSpot and keeping your ZenApp for infrastructure. It's literally, you drop that agent on there and bring online the WorkSpot control plane, and then you can roll out users one by one, and then for 6 months, you might have half the users accessing via, Citrix's control plane via HDX, and the other half are accessing RemoteFX via WorkSpot, and every couple of days, you sort of
migrate.
Users
don't know, right, and they don't need to know, and that's the power of it. That's it, right? Like, they don't want to know, they don't need to know. You make one change, and you can change everything else behind it, and that's the flexibility that we give you.
Well, why isn't everyone using you guys? Why are you not a billion-dollar company?
Puneet, why aren't we a billion-dollar company? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, we're young, right? We're young. It took us a record-breaking sort of 18 months to kind of build this product and get into market. And look, we're obviously not shy withering flowers. We think we can be. So let's go, right? We're doing it. We're delivering. We're delivering to more and more customers every day. So I think we're on our way.
Yep. It takes time to build a big company. You know, the first 100 customers are always the hardest, and we are getting to that number. But I would say we're building for the next decade, right? And we're in no rush. So we want to make sure our first 100 customers are super successful. We learn from them. We listen. And, you know, I'm in Denver visiting one of our top customers. And the process is very, very focus driven. If you want to build a big, successful company, you have to take things one point at a time. And we are getting, you know, more and more traction every year. And we're pretty happy with where we are right now.
Well, and, you know, as we talked about, Windows is around forever. Like, you got time.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about, if you spend a few years ramping up a company that, all the Windows apps are going to be gone. But
that's right. Done. Yeah, exactly. And like, to just double down on what Puneet said, it's like, you know, we bring a collective 25, 30 years of experience to this. We're not, you know, we have no appetite to kind of repeat the same mistakes. Like, we'll learn new things, but we're judiciously building a product, which is the kind of thing when you've been doing it for this long, you're going to do it right out the gate, right? So we add what we need to add. We move so much faster than anybody else. So we're there.
Is there a mobile? Is there any kind of mobile? This might be the dumbest, most ignorant question at all. But so I get so you can deliver web apps and obviously Windows apps, Windows desktops, and all that kind of stuff. And it's easier than I get all that stuff and to any platform, and everything. But is there mobile? Do you manage mobile apps and deliver those apps on devices too, or is that a separate thing that somewhat?
Well, that goes back to our genesis a little bit, right?
Because you guys started with mobile, and moved into this, and
precisely.
So
if someone asks me, like, "Hey, are you an MDM EMM company?" I'd be like, "No." Like, do most of our customers, do they have some kind of MDM EMM solution there for the managing mobile devices? Yes. Are we going to build that into our solution? No. Because it is about that workspace delivery, right? But do we have some element of that in our product? We do, right? It's kind of where we built up from. So you can deliver out. You can do the very, very basic stuff, right? Like Wi-Fi configuration, pushing out some apps, just like literally, pin resetting, et cetera, to a mobile device. And it's not sufficient to replacing a full-blown, lockdown MDM, EMM solution for sure. What we focus on mobile is just optimizing that delivery, right? Making sure we have that rich client experience, making sure that we can kind of, deliver the right apps into the workspace.
And it is nice being the glue. I mean, Microsoft spent a lot of time writing a very nice protocol. The storage vendors spend a lot of time making nice storage. The hypervisor vendors do that kind of stuff. And all is kind of needed. This is something I talked about 2-3 years ago. I have no desire to start a product company or be responsible for products and customers and that sort of thing. But I always said if I did, it seems like all the building blocks are there with the cloud and the protocols and all. It's all there. And even if you wanted to support PC over IP, I don't know, but there's SDKs for that. Like it's
absolutely
all there. Like, you don't have to make that. So
that's right.
So. But it seems like it just needs kind of the glue to sort of hook it all together and make it so it's like the one-click kind of go button.
Yeah, exactly. It has to be one-click go kind of button, right? I mean, it's like, look, IT is totally besieged, right? Every CIO I talk to, they're like, oh, I've cut half my budget. I have to do so much more. I have all this to deal with. So it has to be that way. And that is it, right? Like taking all of that complexity out. I mean, we could sit here all day and list all those layers of complexity, but that glue is what you need to kind of use what you've got that's in place, use the technologies that we've got, but invent and put into market these critical components, the cloud and the end user.
So final thoughts, what do people do next? So you are called Workspot, and
yeah.
people don't like
You don't download it. How do you try it? Like, what happened? How
do it? So it's fantastic, right? When can you say you got a VDI deployment up and running within a day? That's what people do. So that's what they should do. Is they should drop us a note. Go to workspot.com, sign up for an account. We get on the phone with you. We don't have to come fly out our bunch of propeller heads to see you and get you set up.
And like you get set up with a test because it's all in your control cloud. So like you just get set up with a demo account
They can do a demo account, but actually we'd rather that they just try it out on their own kit. I mean, that's the proof is in the pudding.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But like they can get their account. They get an account for their – like their instance of your control plane, so they can hook in their live. Yeah. Like, take your existing Xanapp servers you have right now, and just hook it up, and pick one, hook it up, and then start using it.
Sure, Xanapp server, or just do a greenfield VDI if you've got your spanky brand new, you know, Atlantis or Nutanix box. Fantastic, right? Download a connector, and you will be up and running, deploying desktops literally point and click.
I love it. So that is the voice of Rana Kannan, the Chief Product Officer of Workspot. And your product is called Workspot.
Yeah, it's a spot to work.
There's no versions. There's no additions.
It's a subscription basis, and that's just called Workspot.
So that's Rana Kannan. We also were joined via Skype from Denver, Puneet Chalwa, who is the CTO and one of the co-founders at Workspot. So, Puneet, thank you so much for your time today as well.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Gabe.
So to all of us here, this. I think was a lot of me talking today, so sorry, Gabe and Jack. That
you were grooving.
Yeah, but no, this is good. To be honest, had no idea what you did at all before this.
I hope we've shed a little bit of light.
I thought they do some mobile something. I don't know, it's iPads. I don't know,
but it was, and now it's not.
Yeah,
I don't know. This is awesome. I'm excited.
And
about
it's
this.
Okay. I don't blame you. Like, we do stuff so much faster with the architecture that we've got that it's. You know, it's like we're not in Kansas Toto, right?
I mean, I'm going to describe it. It's CWC without the baggage.
Yeah.
Amen. Like that's, you know, or Enzo without the like that's.
Or Enzo that's real. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Well, wow. That's the mic drop moment right there. Yeah.
All right. So Rana and Puneet, thank you for your time. Gabe, Jack, Mariah on the faders. This is Brian Madden with the BrianMadden.com team. Thank you, Workspot, for sponsoring today's podcast and for being on. And to all of our listeners, have a good Tuesday. Thank you.